Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. This week's guest is Laura Zolke. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So you have a show called Fit Over 40, which I'm excited to talk to you about, but we also have some topics that I wanted to get into, the first one being events. So usually sure. I have two like actual specific articles, and this time I just have the one article that we'll talk about at the end, and I just wanted to really kind of get a different perspective on attending podcasting events or just events in general, because that's a lot of what I'm working on right now.
Okay.
For Blueberry, because we're going to quite a few in the upcoming months, mm-hmm. and just want to let people know that one, we're going, and two, the pros and cons of attending said events as well.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
You said you have quite a bit of experience attending events, so can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I have bring a background in marketing. Actually, I started out as a reporter in the telecom industry about 22 years ago. And at that time, you know, I was sort of thrust into events as a very young, right out of college reporter. Because we actually hosted two trade shows. One was at the Javits in New York and one sort of floated around the country. And so I got this crash course into how to navigate an expo floor and how to moderate panels. And it was so green and I had no idea what was going on. But, you know, I learned at a young age the power of being able to network and converse with people who are not like you and who that you may feel a little intimidated. And I know I've, you know, over the years and being in the marketing industry, I've been to tons of conferences and spoken at a lot of conferences. And so there's sort of two key values that I see. One is an attendee, and especially if you're just getting started, it can have huge value because you get lots of great ideas and lots of insights and can meet lots of people. The thing I'll say is that it's really important, though, to know your lane before you go in, because one of the things that I've done over the years as I've sort of been moving, you know, kind of moving out of marketing and into my, you know, new world of, working with women over 40 relative to fitness and health, is that you can kind of get distracted by a lot of, you know, bells and whistles and sort of off into lots of avenues. And so it's really important to sort of really know going in, if you're a new podcaster, you have a new genre that you're really working in, especially if it's like me kind of moving into a whole new pivot of a career. Mm-hmm. So really to know yourself. And what I mean by that is just know what your focus is and know who you really want to talk to. If you know those two things, it can help anchor you into what you really want to do. And then, of course, on the speaking side, having been a speaker, it also introduces you to a lot of new people. And so there's huge value in conferences, but I think it can be a lot of information. And if you're like me and you can kind of tend to squirrel off into new, you know, ventures quickly with creative ideas, it's really important to just know your focus.
I think that's a critical point of going to any event is, what am I trying to get out of this?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it is incredibly overwhelming every time that you go. A lot of the time we'll go to podcast-specific events, but we've also gone to something completely different than what we do, but we know people attending want to have a podcast. And so it's a different ballgame when we go to those, because we're the outlier as opposed to, you know, when we're at Podcast Movement and it's all podcasting companies and where you fit right in.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. And I've been both in both scenarios too. And, you know, especially in having been in marketing, I came from the agency world, and we used to tell clients a lot, if you're, you know, kind of going to a new pond where you're a different duck is a good thing sometimes, because you can really stand out, especially again, knowing your audience and knowing, you know, sort of what their core needs and pain points are. It can really help. You know, I think though, from a peer-to-peer standpoint, you know, just as a podcaster and going to events, it really helps you understand too, I think that we're kind of, we all start out somewhere, right?
Yes.
And we all start out trying to understand a new world. And, you know, and with podcasting, it's not just the content and your specific expertise. It's also the technical parts and, you know, the marketing and sort of the, all of those things combined. You're kind of a one person show. So
turns into figuring out what do you have to do to get across to these people? Whether you are the attendee or the exhibitor, you just have to figure out like what you're doing and why you're there. So have you gone to any podcasting events in the past or do you plan on going to any?
I haven't yet. I'm really looking into podcast movement and to submit a speaking option there. And my background is in storytelling. Came up from journalism moved into marketing and done a lot of work over the years in brand storytelling and the art of storytelling and how do you really craft compelling stories, which is really, of course, native to podcasting. So
definitely.
Be a lot of fun. Yeah. But yeah, I'm planning on being there.
Yeah, we're headed to PodFest, which by the time this episode comes out on Monday, I don't know, like the 25th, will only be like a week or two away. So myself, Todd Cochran, Mike Dell will be at that show. They're both speaking. And then after that in March, we'll be heading to Proclaim, which is one of those ones where we're kind of not the main thing, because mm-hmm. Proclaim is the National Religious Broadcasters Conference, mm-hmm. because so many religious organizations have a podcast. It makes sense for us to go. And then after that, we'll head to Vegas for NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters. That one's a pretty big one. And then after that, we might have one in between, and then we'll head to Podcast Movement in the summer. So
Great.
It gets busy.
Yeah, I'm no kidding.
It gets busy real quick. Each one of them, to our core, will be saying the same thing, but we will kind of tweak it to make sense for the specific type of people that are attending these events and like what of our services stands out that they would be interested in and, you know, what do they care about? What are their main goals? And then we'll be like, all right, well, based on your main goals, this is how we fit you.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
We look forward to seeing everyone at these events though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without actually talking to people, then it's really no reason. There's no reason for us to go. So we love seeing you all.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, and I think too, because, you know, you get in your world and it can feel isolating. I mean, my family and friends kind of think I'm crazy and they're like, oh yeah, you sit and talk to a microphone every week. You know, I was like, well, it's this idea, but I do have a dear friend that's also recently launched a podcast and it's actually how I, as a hosting platform. And, and so we talk a lot about, you know, different things and woes of technology and all those sorts of things. But going to those events is great because you just, you get to see that you're in it with others. And I think that there's a tendency too, though, I'll say, you know, in going to these events, especially if you're kind of just starting out or relatively new, like I am, is that it can feel overwhelming and you tend to want to judge yourself of like, oh, well, I'm not where they are. Or, oh gosh, I don't have, you know, 10,000 people a month yet, but it's just starting to understand again, like who are you talking to and what's your focus and knowing that it's a progression, you know, and having come from the world of marketing and, you know, building brands and building your platform takes time. And that's kind of a disappointing fact for people because overnight success. And the reality is that it's a slow, steady cadence of consistently showing up. And that's the thing I'm really focused on right now.
That's the true way I feel that people are actually able to create a longstanding audience and show is if it does happen overnight, it makes me a little suspicious of how long will this audience stay around if they got here so quickly.
Right. Yeah.
Things to remember and consider when you're attending events.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting too, because I guess I say that with a little bit of a caveat in that, you know, I think sometimes it kind of depends on your audience. And what I mean by that is my audience is very focused on very, I have a very specific niche, but you know, it's a different kind of animal when you're a branded content platform, like you're a business or you've got a specific thing that you're sort of subtly weaving into your content versus a more, what I call quote unquote consumer content. That's more of a relative to, you know, fiction or relative to topics that would be a little more consumer. And I think that some of the explosion can happen in that very viral way, in a consumer platform. But I know from, you know, past experience that a lot of brands, you know, that wanted to do branded content would sometimes get frustrated and struggle because they hadn't fully identified their niche. And it can be a little bit of a slippery slope because of that sort of inside baseball lingo. And so you've got to think too about your content. You know, are you able to reach a broader audience beyond that would have inroads into or influencers relative to, you know, the topics that you're talking about. So I think that building that, you know, sort of content machine takes time. You know, it can be more viral and can be a little hotter and a little more ripe for explosion on the consumer side, but especially relative to a branded or, you know, kind of more of a business to business platform, it can be just a little bit slower. That's just at least been my experience. So,
no, I think you make a really good point because podcasting is great for that niche because you can tell someone exactly what they want, but you also have to do your research and mentally come to the realization that if you are super, super niche, you will have a limited audience in of who will truly be interested in this. It's not going to come all at once like that. You're not going to just bam, be able to find these people that truly easily connect with this right out the gate, especially if you've never done podcast or never been involved in marketing or storytelling or publishing or anything like that. Like for a lot of people that have a podcast have never been involved in anything along the lines of those, you know, critical components, and you can learn them. But for the people that don't know them right off the bat, you're going to have probably a little more learning than you might have guessed.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I say, you know, kind of go easy on yourself. I remember way back in the day when I started my first blog, and even, you know, having been in the industry, and at that time I was, you know, kind of morphing from this journalist, reporter/reporter to into the marketing world. And I would get so frustrated, you know, I was like, where is everybody? Why won't you come? It just takes time. And I think that's why I'm a big fan of Amy Porterfield. I religiously listen to her podcast, Online Marketing Made Easy. And, you know, that was one of the things that she talked about recently that I heard her say is that it wasn't until she really diligently started showing up to her podcast every single week that it started to make a real big impact for her. And so I think that just that consistency is really key and kind of showing up even when you don't want to.
Yes.
Going on, or my world's exploding, or I've got busyness here, or the kids need that. But it's just, it's a consistent, it's a practice. I think of my, you know, showing up to my podcast as a practice.
Yes. So you, okay. I want to move into talking about your show because you've been saying how you did blogging before this and consistency for your podcast. So your show is called Fit Over 40 and you're working with and trying to help women that are over the age of 40 and just trying to change their lifestyle or get into a more healthy mindset. So how long have you been doing this?
So I started out about probably 10 years ago. This has been a long iterative process for I started out about 10 years ago. I'd always been an athlete. I spent years of my life dieting. I got to my early 30s in, you know, early 2000s and just realized that that way wasn't working for me anymore. I had a serious back injury as a result of all the triathlons and things that I had done. And so it sort of set me on a new course. And through that process and that sort of inward journey that I went on, I really started exploring the ideas of food psychology. And so I did a training certification program as a food psychology coach I guess around 2009, 2010 timeframe. And so I had started a coaching business in Austin during that time and, you know, just working with folks kind of one-on-one, teaching some classes. And so, you know, it's kind of ebbed and flowed. And then I really got serious last year and started really working on my business plan. And that's why I say like knowing who you want to talk to, because I think in the past it was sort of too broad. And I was like, well, I just want to help women, you know, feel better in their bodies. And I was like, well, there's a lot of ways that you could go with that. And, you know, as I hit 40 and then, you know, now well past it, it's this realization that there's not a lot of people talking to us. People want us to be 20 again. And guess what? P.S. We're not going to be 20 again because we're in our 40s or we're in our 50s or we're in our 60s.
Yep.
And there's also a thing that comes along with that of not just wanting to somehow be back where we were, but also along the same journey that I'm speaking to relative to learning a new way with podcasting, that when you get to these points in your life where you feel that kind of stirring of like, yeah, I want to do something different, you've got to learn a new way. And so that's what my podcast is really about, is just providing a framework and new avenues for women to think about these topics that we've heard for years, like food and exercise and goals and all those sorts of things, and helping them think about those things differently so that they can navigate their journey of aging. What I say, grit and grace, you know, we're all about grit and grace in Texas.
How many episodes do you have so far? About a dozen or so?
Yeah, so I am I just finished my show notes this morning, and this afternoon I will be recording episode 15, I believe. I've sprinkled in a few meditations in there. So yeah, I'm on episode 15. It's still new. People ask me, oh, how many listeners do you have? I'm like, you know, I honestly, it's terrible to say I don't know. And partly I'm intentionally sort of staying out of the analytics right now because distraction for me. Coming from the world of marketing where we want to measure everything and have dashboards for everything, I know for me, I don't want to feel discouraged or sort of overinflated by numbers. I really want to stay focused on my mission. And that's why I'm like, yep, I'm getting feedback. I'm getting some reviews and, you know, I'm kind of going at it's a turtle in the hair for me. I'm having fun with it. I think that's the main thing. If it's not fun, then don't do it. That's my motto.
I think that's a great motto. One in life, two for podcasting, because people can tell if you don't enjoy it.
Exactly. Well, I think in the past, you know, Mackenzie, it was just this feeling of I'm supposed to, like, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to have a blog. I'm supposed to be on Twitter. I don't like Twitter. I don't go to Twitter. Like, so there's just things that I have, you know, and I think that's part of the latitude I've given myself and being a woman over 40 and just in life, is that when I was younger, I always felt like I have to do everything that everyone else is doing. I have to show up on all these platforms and channels. I have to be all of the ways. And what I've come to realize now, and where I feel like my worlds of marketing and this new world of, you know, working with women has intersected, is that I don't have to be all the ways. I just have to be the ways that are relevant to my audience. So when I think about my mom, and who's in her early 70s, and thinking about creating content that's going to relate to her, she's not on Twitter. You know, she's not doing things that but she's getting to my podcast and she's loving it. So, but beyond my mom, I've got other women in the same boat. And so again, coming back to knowing your audience and thinking about where are they really congregating? How are they really using these tools? So how can I show up in the right channels and in the right ways to put out content in the way that's going to speak to them, as opposed to thinking I have to do everything all at once? And that was always sort of the blind spot for me in the past, and why it really, I didn't stick with anything, because I'd burn myself out. I'd burn myself out trying to do everything at once, and it was exhausting.
Oh, yeah. This reminds me of a conversation I had just about a week ago with a family friend who is, I don't know, probably in her like mid-50s. And I hadn't seen her in a couple of years, and she was like, tell me about your job. And I was kind of giving her a quick spiel. But the first thing I said was, do you guys listen to podcasts? And her face lit up. She's like, I just listened to my first one like last week. Uh-huh. And she said it was I can't remember his name, but it's a newscaster that she's loved for years. And she's like, they told us exactly how to be able to access his show, where we could find it, how I can download it. They gave me all of these instructions. She's like, and then I saw something advertised about it in the newspaper as well, like later on, about how I could listen to it. She's like, this is exactly what people need to be doing. She's like, because I love this content. I never would have found it on social media or anything like that. She's like, I'm just not on there. So it worked. They did a good job telling her exactly what to do.
Funny that you're saying that, because I had been asking some of my listeners who are friends of mine to, because they would give me this anecdotal feedback. And I'm like, guys, please go on iTunes and rate and review me. And they're like, finally, one of them was like, I just don't know how. It's not
supportive. Yes.
So I literally, in a batch of emails last week, I gave them step-by-step instructions. And then it kind of dawned on me, maybe I just need to do a quick little video to put up on my site or on my channels to show people, because it's, they don't know. And that's the thing, and is you can't make assumptions. You've got to, you know, if you're curious about something or you're asking people to do something and they're not doing, chances are they either don't know how to do it or they just haven't taken the time. So they just need a gentle nudge. You just can't make assumptions that folks know how to find you. You've got to be willing to go out of your, you know, out of your comfort zone and just really make that connection. So.
Yep, definitely. I mean, I feel like you're already in that mindset of helping people get out of their comfort zone, though, just with the general topic of your podcast. Yeah.
Right. It is true. It is true. I've always said I kind of play in the deep end of the pool, but I like it here. I mean, I used to play a lot of Marco Polo when I was a kid, so, you know.
So you're familiar.
I'm familiar.
When you were figuring all this out, you said you had someone that recommended Blueberry to you. Like, had you considered a podcast, or was that something that someone kind of suggested to you?
Oh, no, I had thought about it. I had started listening to, I'm kind of new to the party. I guess it's probably about a year, maybe 18 months ago, I started really kind of diving into podcast content. And I just always thought, you know, this would be fun. And, you know, I'm not a stranger to video or radio or any of those mediums. And so I just thought, you know, I'm going to give this a go. And so my friend Tammy Lorraine, she's got a podcast called Om and Go. That's like these little mini 5 to 8 minute meditations for people who are busy. And it's a really beautiful little podcast. And so she was telling me about it. I'm like, how did you figure this out? Because it was the technology that was really halting me. Like, I have tons of content. Content's not a problem, but I just felt overwhelmed. And so I just started literally, and I had also done a Google search and heard of you guys. And then Tammy, you know, I started talking to her, and she started giving me the behind the scenes, you know, ropes. And so, and I will say, you guys have got great step-by-step things that have made it so much easier. So, you know, it's really not a hard process. It's just kind of, again, getting out of your comfort zone and being, I think the key is being willing to be a student again. And I think that there's a double-edged sword of, like, when you're a content expert and you're like, well, I know all of this stuff, but yet you're a teacher on one hand and then you're a student in the other, because you're learning again, how do I do these things that I don't know? And so there's a little bit of humility that goes along with it, and a little bit of self-deprecation, because, I mean, I had a podcast last week. I actually called you guys to support because I had coughed in the middle of a recording. I had edited it out. And I was like, oh no, but I just, the irony, of course, was that I was just talking about perfectionism in my podcast. So, you know, it was,
and like, how do I get it out?
Yeah. So I just left it. I just left it.
I understand. Do you have any help that is assisting you with either getting the show out or contributing to content or editing or anything like that?
No, it is all me.
It's all you.
I write the show notes. I record it. I edit it. I did have a friend do my voiceover intro.
Okay, cool. That makes sense.
Beautiful job of that, you know, but I wrote that script. So, I mean, again, content script writing, that's all my background. So I did all of that myself. And then I'm realizing, though, my kind of blind spot still is web development and getting my everything integrated. So I'm moving to a WordPress platform so that my podcast will be more seamlessly integrated, and I use the plugin and make it all much prettier and easier for folks. But yeah, it's all me. And it's a lot more work than I thought, but it's getting easier and easier and easier with each one. And partly it's because I do a lot of prep. I mean, I don't just sit down and talk. I really I don't fully script out everything because I like to be off the cuff on some things, but I have a pretty clear focus and intention with each podcast because I really want folks to get value out of it. And I think especially if you've got any sort of helping you or teaching anything, being mindful of how you format your content is really, really important. So you don't want to just talk to your friend for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes and then get 5 minutes of tips. Like you really want to think about what is my audience wanting out of this topic, especially if it's a juicy topic, you know, that you know is going to get a lot of interest. You want to do an opener, but get right into it because otherwise you're going to lose them. And that was one of the comments I got the other day. I was like, oh, I love your podcast, but they're kind of long. And I mean, they're around 40 minutes, which to me, I'm thinking, well, that's not that long. If you commute to work, it's pretty easy, but it's making me realize that maybe I need to start pairing some things or starting splitting topics into several different, you know, podcasts as opposed to trying to cover a lot of things in one.
I have guests on the majority, like 95% of the episodes that I have. And whenever I do a solo episode, one, it's just definitely shorter. And two, I've learned if I don't write a lot of notes out of what I want to talk about, I'm going to get all of it done in like 10 minutes when I thought it was going to be double.
Yeah, exactly.
It goes so much quicker. Oh my gosh. I don't know how people do. Like I understand that's why you have so much stuff, so much prep, because otherwise I am not the person that would be able to just do it off the cuff. I think I would get a lot of good one-liners in there, but it would be 3 minutes of good content and 20 minutes of rambling.
Exactly.
Well, and that's not what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Well, and I guess my brain, and this is just how, again, because this is my profession, but the thing about having kind of done your due diligence with some of the notes is that then down the road, if you ever wanted to do a book or an ebook or do anything else with that content, you've already got it mapped out and you've got it mapped out by topic. So it makes it really easy then to go grab it and blow it into an ebook that then you can turn around and sell on your website. I mean, so that's how I'm always thinking is like, from here, I'm starting to prepare classes to start teaching in the Austin area in the next few months. And I'm thinking, well, I've already got all this content. So I just need to add things to it, add more activity, some more meat to it so that it's adds another layer of value. But, you know, your podcast can be a great platform, again, especially if you're in kind of a helping or, you know, service-based coaching, any of that, you know, any of those lines of business.
Do you have any plans in the future for the show, or are you just kind of in the mode right now of like, you've got it down?
Well, I've got it down, but I am starting to think about, I'm going to start introducing, the next big thing I'm going to do is I've got a list of guests that I want to start bringing on. So that's kind of my next step is some authors and coaches and other speakers and so forth that I'm going to start peppering in a Wise Woman series. So that'll be a lot of fun and kind of add a different flavor. And then we'll see. We'll see. It's kind of a fun journey of not knowing and just sort of seeing where it takes me.
Okay, good. So where can people find you for your show?
Yeah, so you can find me at zulafit.com, which is ZulaFit.com, and then my podcast is there.
Okay,
or Fit Over 40, and then I'm on iTunes, of course, and Spotify and Stitcher.
Yes, all of the main places, of course, so that's good.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for talking about your show.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to talk about one last article before we wrap up, and it's called that's kind of a bleak title. I just reread it. The Streaming Crash of 2019.
Yeah.
It's something that I've been thinking about quite a bit the past couple of months. I think it really got to me over when I took some time off for the holidays at the end of the year. And I just, you know, sat at home or I sat at my friend's house and we streamed all of the things, and I was like, look at all these things I didn't know existed or that I've been wanting to watch and didn't have time for.
Right.
It's a lot of content out there. Like, holy crap. Sometimes I just get stuck in my little bubble of things I know I will like and don't realize all these other things that are out there. And it's just like, what do you choose? What do you do?
It is overwhelming. It is. And it's funny because as you sent me this article and I kind of reflected I mentioned to you in the email that, you know, and I mentioned here earlier that I started out in telecom, as a reporter for two trade magazines. And that was 1997 when I started there. And from the time I was there from 97 until 99, now that was, this is the era of payphones are on their way out. I mean, I had a cell phone at that time, but I was living in Houston. You didn't use it. I mean, you didn't use your cell phone because you couldn't afford it. I was like a broke, right out of college, you know, kid, and I had no money. And I think my bill, it was literally like a dollar a minute. And it just, it's so easy to see this. And I think about how we consume content now and really just the evolution is, it's pretty remarkable in such a short time, how much is available. And I think that's what's so kind of fascinating to me about podcasting and about streaming in general is that now you've got so many more opportunities to get your voice out there. You know, before when I started out in journalism and in marketing, you know, there were like three channels and it was really easy to, as a reporter to sort of manage that. You could sort of manage your, well, and even as a brand, you can manage the narrative, but it did make it harder in some ways to sort of penetrate, you know, new areas. But now it's like the ball is really in the consumer's court and the consumers are now driving really how things go. And that's really the difference. And I think it really started before the wireless era, you know, in the era of sort of as CNN and sort of the 24-hour news cycle started, that was what sort of kicked it off. And this desire for consumers to have access to more content. And that's why, you know, at that time, you know, things like CNN and MTV and all those things sort of exploded is because they were producing content in a different way that hadn't been done before. And then add wireless technology onto that. And it's just multiplied.
I've definitely thought this before and seen people talking about it online and whatnot of podcasting is oversaturated at the moment. Like there's how many shows out there and yet how many people are actually listening to these shows, you know, thousands of shows on marketing or whatever it is. And it's like, well, how do you stand out? How do you actually get people to listen to you? But we're obviously not the only market like that. Mm-hmm. People are going to be able to find certain shows much better simply because they have the marketing team, they have the backing team behind it, they just have simply better content, they just know their way around how to do this better than others. I don't know, it just seems like when I see something like this, it just seems a little sad that people will focus on how many podcasts there are without comparing it to a different type of medium. Like, no one says we should make less books or like TV shows or like online web series or like crappy straight to DVD movies or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's always because I heard that, too. And it gave me a quick pause. It didn't last for long. But I was thinking, oh, God, is this not the right channel for me? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I want to do this. And so I think that's why I say it depends on your focus. If you're a major company and you're putting out a podcast, that's one thing. But if you're kind of a startup and you're in that generation phase, I think it's just like it was when blogs sort of hit the world, right, in the early 2000s, is that you've just got to know your niche and know your audience. But beyond that, I remember this was probably about 4 or 5 years ago. I had a client when I was working at a PR agency, and the client was like, we want to monetize our blog. And I'm thinking, what are your analytics and who is even there to how are you planning to monetize
this? Yeah.
So, I mean, I think
who are you going to monetize to?
Yeah, like you can't make right now, if you're just starting out, you blogging or podcasting, that cannot be your source of revenue. It's just another marketing channel, and it's a great one because it gives you a chance for people to really get to know your point of view and your voice. And that's, I think, ultimately what people gravitate toward. I mean, when I think about the content that I listen to on podcasts, it's because you feel like you get to know them. You know, I mean, that said, I think that there is a fine balance of I want to know you and teach me something. You know, I want to learn something or entertain me. And so, again, it kind of depends on your audience. It depends on what your goals are for your podcast. I mean, to me, my podcast is a channel. It's one channel right now that I'm very focused on because I want to get into, like I said, the practice of it. And I want to continue to refine my voice and my content and then use that as the springboard to the next thing. And so I'm starting with the podcast. A lot of people start with other things and then the podcast comes later. So again, know your business. If you're a business, if you're just purely entertainment, just know your focus and know your intentions and goals so that you're not setting yourself up for disappointment because there is a lot of competition. That's just the reality. There's a lot of, we're always competing for hearts and minds and eyeballs. I mean, it's just, there's a limited amount of time in the world, you know? So
there's never going to be able to get everyone. Because someone's going to choose something else. So those people that you truly want to get, you're going to have to specifically make sure that you're able to get, like, that you're doing the correct things to get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I think about it, so this morning when I was getting ready for work, I finished listening to an episode of a podcast. So I was like, all right, I want to listen to this one so then I can start the next episode when I drive home from work tonight. Mm-hmm. But then on my way to work, I was like, all right, well, I'll listen to some music on my Sirius XM subscription. Mm-hmm. And then I know I'm inevitably fall asleep to something on either Netflix, Amazon, or Hulu tonight.
I know. Like,
I have so many things.
It's crazy.
I have so many.
I mean, I did the same thing. I just recently ditched cable and I'm doing Hulu Live and it's working pretty well. I got a little ticked. I couldn't watch the Super Bowl because where I live in Austin, like Hulu didn't, you know, CBS was not an affiliate. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? And the
poor customer,
I was blowing up his, his jacket. So I was like, I got everything set for my Super Bowl watching and I can't get it. I was
so mad.
He was poor man. He was like, oh, I'm so sorry. But yeah, I was obviously not the first person and written into him. But yeah, it is amazing. It's amazing. And I think I always wonder, you know, as we look ahead, like, where is it going to be? Are we in a bubble, you know, and it's going to pop and, you know, and people are going to come back to a different way. I mean, I think to me, I think as I was thinking about this and kind of thinking about our conversation, to me, the irony of this is that when I think about like my grandparents and great grandparents, they used to sit around the radio and listen to content. And, you know, in some ways it's like, you know, what's old is new again. And I think that it's just, you've got to ride the wave. And I think some people get so attached to, it has to be this way, or I have to make money this way, or like, you have to stay open and you have to be able to go with the flow because it is going to evolve and change and there is going to be consistently more things competing on us. And mm-hmm. That's why I find the things that feel fun and find, because that's what you're going to keep showing up to. If podcasting is it, you know, blogging, whatever those channels are, like, find the things that you know are fun and where your people are, where your audience is.
Where your people are. Go where your people are. Yes. So simple. So simple a concept. But yeah. It takes a little bit to actually figure it out.
Yeah, it does. It does take time. It absolutely does.
Yep. Really, this came up because this article, someone was talking about how all of these streaming video content is available, but saying how, you know, Marc Maron does 3 hours a week. Joe Rogan episode can run 4 hours long, which I've never listened to more than a half hour of Joe Rogan because they are that long. But we'll see how this goes.
Yeah,
we'll see. It stands up.
Yeah, it is interesting. It is very interesting.
It's just, I think it's going to be important to keep things freely available to people.
Yeah.
In that they love podcasts. I will never pay for a podcast, though. I'm just not one of those people. I'm not going to do it. I know I'm not going to.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm not either. I'm not. No, and there's things that I can get to that are fun and free. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I pay for Spotify. I pay for Netflix. I pay for all these things because of the amount of content that it provides. I'm never about to pay for one show. That's just mm-hmm. not happening. That's not the type of person I am. That's not the type of budget that I have.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So Well, thank you for being on the show with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks. Loved having you on. And next up is a PowerPress tip with Sean Thorpe. But everyone, thanks for listening. Please tell your friends, especially ones that are also starting a podcast or have, you know, just wanting to learn more about podcasting. So thanks for listening, and I'll be back in 2 weeks, everyone.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry Support Team with this week's PowerPress tip. While podcasting is almost completely synonymous with audio, it is still possible to produce a video-based podcast. For the most part, everything that makes an audio podcast work is the same for a video podcast. The main difference is that video podcasts usually consist of MP4 or M4V files instead of MP3 or AAC files. If you want to publish a video podcast, PowerPress can generate a video player for your website. You can access video player settings by hovering over the PowerPress menu in your WordPress dashboard and clicking Video Player in the pop-up menu. By default, PowerPress uses the MediaElement.js player built into WordPress, which is also the same default media player for audio files. In addition to that, there is an option to use the older HTML5 video player instead. You can select your preferred video player by clicking the Activate and Configure Now link next to the player name. The Media Element player has three configurable settings. The first two settings are for player width and player height. It's best to just leave these blank, as the player will usually automatically size itself to fit your video's playback dimensions. But if you'd like to change these settings, you can do so here. Below that is the default poster image setting. A poster image is a still image that acts as the thumbnail image for your video player when the player first loads. By default, Media Element will grab a random thumbnail image from your video. If you'd like to use a custom thumbnail instead, you can set that here. The HTML5 video player has those same settings plus a few more. The include play icon over poster image is automatically checked, and it's probably best to leave it that way. Unchecking this box could remove the familiar play button from your media player, which could lead to confusion for prospective viewers. There's a checkbox for an option called use poster image width and height for audio player that should be ignored. This function works with an older audio player that isn't really supported anymore. The video play icon option will allow you to set a custom play icon in place of the familiar default video player icon. Leave this option alone unless you have a specific reason to use it. If you make any changes to your video player settings, be sure to click the Save Changes button at the bottom of the page. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email me, Sean@blueberry.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.